Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to talk today about covenant. Say covenant. And here's the title on the screen. Covenant. How everything becomes better. Say that, covenant. How everything becomes better. Yeah, receive that. You're going to hear it often today because covenant is the basis of our salvation, the basis of all the promises we have, of our healing and deliverance. And Jesus, of course, gave covenant, made covenant with us, our church's name, New Covenant. Really, because of what Jesus said and did, that we are a covenant people. I want you to see today that there is the covenant God makes, then there's covenants that we make. And every covenant that we enter into, makes something better. Covenant makes everything better. Say it again. Covenant makes everything better. What is a covenant? A covenant is a mutually binding association based on love and trust. Let me say it again. A covenant is a mutually binding association based on love and trust. You've heard me teach that for many years. And covenant is not a contract which is based on distrust. When you look up the definition of covenant, it will often say contract, but no, covenant from God's perspective is not a contract, because a contract is based on distrust. You hire somebody to build a deck, you sign a contract, it says, I'll pay you to do this job, and if you don't do the job, you don't get paid, or if you defraud me, I'm coming after you, whatever I have to do. Or vice versa, if you don't pay the contractor, he has some rights. So contracts are designed really in distrust, not in the negative sense, but contracts are there to help you if somebody doesn't do his or her part. But a covenant is entirely different. Now there are people who do marriage and things. There are marriage contracts, by the way, right? Prenuptial agreements, that's a contract. But a true marriage covenant is based on love and trust. Say love and trust. That's it, love and trust. And it's mutually binding, it's an association. We understand that. Well, as we go through this lesson today, think about those words, because if we don't have love and trust, we don't have much of anything. Amen. If all we have is the prospect of being of retribution or of, some harsh outcome to not doing something, then you never had a covenant in the first place. People in covenant, marriages in covenant, they don't spend any time distrusting or suspecting the other person of stuff. It's quiet up in here. Y'all all right? Now, I must say, let me say this. You've got to grow into that level. Right, because folks get saved and bring all that stuff out of the world into that marriage, and they basically, don't understand. But as you serve God and love each other, you learn that the covenant is love, trust. So my wife called me on the phone. I don't answer the phone. And she called back the other time. I don't answer the phone. She was like, Where is he? What's he doing? Want to answer my call? She don't think that, and vice versa. I mean, many things happen in our lives that if you didn't have covenant, all you got left are your suspicions and your fears running rampant in your mind. And it's a really sad situation to not have a covenant-based relationship. Matter of fact, it's so much until I'm of a certain age now. I'm only going to have covenant-based relationships. In my business, if I can't shake on it, we're not doing business at all. If I can't shake your hand and we agree to do something, I'm not doing paperwork. Now, I'll do an outline of what we're going to do here, but I'm beyond, you know, sign here. I'm past that. Now, I still do that in the world now with church business. You know what I'm saying? I may hire somebody to work in a house. I'm talking about people I work with in my personal business. I don't need a contract. If I think I need one, I ain't doing business with you. Because I'm at a point now where I can pick and choose now. So all I want to do now is covenant. Covenant. Say covenant. Mutually binding association based on love and trust. I want to give you some examples from the scripture. We're going to walk through this together, so bear with me. I may go a bit longer than normal, but I want to really open this up, because as a part of this year and the vision for this year and the time we're in with the closure and the clarity and covenant and recover all, this covenant is the biggest piece of recovering all. Let me say it again. Covenant is the biggest piece of recovering all. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to show several scriptures and talk about covenant going back to the Old Testament. But Ephesians 2:11 says this: therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were without hope, he says. We were estranged from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That describes us all before coming to Jesus Christ. And more importantly, all of us as a people, a non-Jewish people, only the Jewish people were made a promise early on. And so that commonwealth of Israel and all that God said to Moses and Abraham back in the day, even though God anticipated bringing light to all of us, it began with Israel. Well, at that point, we as a people, as a Gentile, non-Jewish people, he says, we did not have hope. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. And the covenant of promise had to do with God promising to deliver Israel from Egypt, going into a promised land. All that God said he would do were the covenants of promise. But he says, look at it again here. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, say now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, or by the covenant blood of Christ. So that's where we'll start today. Now let's go back a little further. Let's go back to Genesis 6. Let's get the first mention of covenant and see what it said. Again, covenant happens at different levels. So Genesis chapter 6, verse 17 says, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. This is God speaking to Noah. Verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you. And what happens when covenant comes? Everything gets better. Amen? Okay. So God's going to destroy the whole world because of the sin and darkness and all the rest. But God said, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. That's all. He didn't say, you know, Jimmy and them, and, you know, he said he was specific, eight people. He says, and of every living thing of all flesh, you will bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. So then we know what happened. But to notice that in the midst of all this horrendous sentence of judgment and destruction, God said, I will make my covenant with you. Listen, when you got a covenant from God, all your fear can leave. I ain't afraid of coronavirus. Now, I'm still doing what I got to do, you know what I'm saying? I'm not afraid of people. I'm not afraid of white nationalists and Christian nationalists and supremacists. I ain't afraid of none of them people. Because I got a covenant with God. I haven't lost my sense either now. I got my good sense. Whatever you got to do, you got to do. But it's the covenant of God you really trust. It was the covenant that kept Noah and his family from destruction. That one ark saved whatever was in the ark. His family and those animals they brought along, that was it. Everything else is gone. And so understand that covenant makes everything better. So look for covenants in your life. Look to live in covenant, keep covenants. What makes people really go wrong is breaking covenant. People have break agreements and dishonor agreements and things and marriage otherwise. Those folk are headed for some trouble because you don't achieve success and find peace and joy without covenant. I mean, first in Christ, but even in life. Listen, y'all, even unsaved people in covenant can enjoy some good things in life because that's the way God designed things to operate. That's why our country, you know, is strong because we have these covenants of the Constitution and we have these long histories and decades of elections and how we do things. And I tell you, you know, the country is bigger than any individual person. The country is way bigger, you know, and our traditions and our customs and our Constitution and laws are just bigger than anybody, you know. And so that's a good thing. Now, it's not like it's God's kingdom. It's not like it cannot fail. I mean, the Roman Empire went on for hundreds of years, and they finally failed. So, yeah, this nation's not above falling. But the point is, with covenant people in the nation, then we can pray and do what's right and help other people survive, right? Now, so that was an example of the first instance of the word mention of covenant in the Bible. Again, covenant makes everything better. Say that again. Covenant makes everything better. All right, Israel. Watch this. Exodus 6:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. It is God's people. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of the land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. This is all in the context of Israel being delivered from Egypt and making clear to them through Moses that he's going to destroy Pharaoh, Pharaoh's army, deliver his people from bondage. And it's all going to happen because God established a covenant with them. Again, nothing better is going to happen until God establishes a covenant. And that's exactly what God did to give them the land of Canaan. Now go to Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 right here. It says, I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you up out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. See, this is what covenant does. It's relational, not just transactional. That's important, by the way, in life. Now, there are some transactional relationships you have, but that's like just business and you know, Amazon, Walmart. But relational relationships is how you walk with people. And God's a relational God. Amen. That's why when you say, God, Lord, thank you. Lord, I need this. I need that. You want a transaction with God? God's like, let's talk relationship first. Before you transact with me, let's look at our relationship. See, you can't go up to God asking for stuff without relationship with him. We miss that sometimes. We miss that even among ourselves, that we aren't just here to transact with somebody, get something from them. In kingdom covenant, it's relational, not just transactional. So God said, I will take you as my people. I will be your God. That's important because, see, when God takes ownership of us, then he takes responsibility for us. That's the problem people have who don't serve God. They want God to help them, but they don't belong to him. They want God to do stuff for them, but they can't find time to serve God, give to God, you know what I'm saying, pray to God, read his word, and they want God to do all this stuff. Now, God is merciful. He keeps folk alive. But to live in the blessings and the abundant life is about relationship with God. And covenant is the basis of it. So when covenant exists, then we can say, God says, I'll take you as my people and I'll be your God. Makes it personal, doesn't it? So then that's what God did with Israel. Even though they weren't fully responsive, you know, they had major failure. The whole thing failed in time. But this is God setting up the principle of covenant. Even though the people failed to walk in it, God showed everybody in the Bible, we're seeing it in history, this is what God intended. And what God intended, he has fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now look at next scripture is Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 here is going to talk about and refer back to the time of the former covenant. We call it Old Testament, Old Covenant. And it says this in verse 18. For on one hand, there is the annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. See, that's the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, all the stuff that people had to do in their own strength. Even though it was right, the law wasn't bad, the law was good. Folk just couldn't do it. The folk made it bad because they couldn't handle it. He says this, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. You see, so Hebrews writer is describing that while, of course, everything God does is good, conceptually, the people weren't in a position to be able to do the will of God. Their hearts weren't changed. They couldn't do it. Yet what God said was right. You know, we should not lie, don't steal, don't murder. That's all still correct. But the people could not hold to it. And that's what made it weak and unprofitable. Even to this day, legalism never works. You know, you try to get somebody to be a Christian. Okay, you're a Christian. Okay, I'm a Christian. What you going to do? Well, you got to, you know, wear your hair this way, and you can't watch TV, and this kind of stuff. You know, these do's and don'ts, and you know, clothesline religion. You give dress codes and all that. See, there's people won't abide by that. I mean, they can't. In other words, if your heart's not changed, if your heart is changed, you'll dress better. I just say it like that. You know, you're going to do better, you know what I'm saying? But if you're not saved, then the outward, it won't change the inward, right? Like I tell you about the famous story of the prodigal pig. Remember that story? All right, prodigal pig, here it goes. So someone got this pig, found this pig in the mud hole, you know, in eating slop and being a pig, and someone said, I'm getting this pig out of here. Took that pig out of there, got him all cleaned up, hosed him down, got some soap, scrubbed him down, put the pig up in the hotel, got him a hotel room. And got, you know, linens and sheets and fine food, and that pig was sitting up there and looking at all that, and that man turned his back. You know what that pig did? That pig ran out the hotel room, ran down the hall, ran down the street, and jumped right back in the mud hole. You know why? He's a pig. He's a prodigal. That's what pigs do. So the point is, if folk don't change, you can't change them. If folks haven't changed by the power and the covenant of God, if covenant can't make them better, you cannot. Now listen, don't mistake it. If someone is saved and weak, you can help them. You can help them understand covenant, because covenant makes everything better. And when they agree, you know, to let you mentor them and teach them, and they follow your instructions and do what you say, they'll see the power of God in them begin to ignite. In other words, you'll tap into what's in them. And that covenant makes it all better. So don't pick that example as to give up on people. But understand who people are sometimes. That you're not dealing with somebody who really has had an encounter with God. That's just religion. Religion is interesting. And some people have, listen, some folk have the willpower to make it look good. Some of us don't. So we don't have Jesus. Ain't nothing going to help me. You know what I'm saying? It got to be the real power of God in my life. I couldn't be a good little church person. I kept running down the hallway and out the door and getting back in the mud hole. That's what I did. So then there is the weakness and unprofitableness of the law and legalism. The law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope. Put it back up again, please. Watch this. It says, verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope. Now, what do you think the better hope came from? Say it. Covenant. Better hope. Through which we draw near to God. All right, Hebrews 8. So he summarizes. So the writer in the previous chapters talks about all the problems with the law and all this. Then he says in chapter 8, verse 1 says, now this is the main point. This is so good. Of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Glory to God. So this new hope based on covenant is through Jesus, our high priest, seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty. So what God is building, see, is based on the true sanctuary. Now listen, there is some sort of a tabernacle in heaven. In fact, when Moses built the earthly tabernacle, God gave him a little vision and said, hey, you know, when you build it like this. He showed Moses a pattern. He had a pattern. He somehow saw what God wanted. And so what he built was just a crude facsimile of what is in heaven. But see, Jesus is the minister of the true tabernacle. So everything that happened in Moses' tabernacle and all that was a type looking forward to what Jesus would do. Matter of fact, you know, just as, you know, when they sacrificed the animals and put the blood on the altar and all that kind of stuff, you know what Jesus did? When he was buried and rose again, you know, and then they came. He said, "Don't touch me." You know, he said, "Don't touch me." He said, "I hadn't ascended yet." He's on the way to offer his blood in the heavenly tabernacle. On his way to make that offering, and then raise from the dead 3 days later. See, Jesus fulfilled everything the Old Testament talked about, but he did it in the truth. The truest sense of the form. It was no types, no shadows. That's why it's ridiculous to do animal sacrifices and go back to old Judaic stuff because Jesus fulfilled it all. It's finished when he gave up his life. And so Jesus offered up his own blood once for all. Amen? Now here's the point I make to you. In the midst of our circumstances, there is something stronger than those circumstances. People talk about luck and good fortune. That's not stronger than circumstance. Your luck gonna run out. You say you're lucky. Keep trusting luck and see what happens, okay? But we have to realize that God's mercy and grace are greater than the circumstances. Covenant is greater than the circumstance. Through covenant, God offers something stronger than the circumstance. We face some strong stuff out here now, some strong opposition. Everything on earth, again, was a pattern of something greater. Even in your life, what God does in you is a pattern of something God is doing greater. My wife, for example, I mentioned her last week, talked about how she's a school teacher and how she's persevered all last year and this year and see her work every day, all day, seemed like all day sometimes. And And the preparation she does is amazing. And educators do this. Jonathan's a teacher as well, and others. And so, but the work that a teacher does, all those hours and hours and hours of preparation, in Pat's case, is to teach sometime only 6 or 7 children, you know, online. And then some of them are jumping in and out, you know, they just going to sleep. One kid fell asleep, you know. You know, all this work, you don't fall asleep on me, you know what I'm saying? But when not in the classroom, you can't control the environment. My point is, listen to me, teaching represents something greater than talking to kids, okay? What teachers do is lay a foundation for another person's whole future. You get that? It's a covenant. Education is a covenant where we covenant to educate, to teach, to train, to lay a foundation, whether it's a small child or grown people. Education, when you teach and you're doing what seem to be small things that nobody sees, oh, it represents something much bigger. Just as Moses' tabernacle represented a whole lot more than some fabric hung up and some poles, you know what I'm saying? It was representing Jesus, redemption. So that's why it's important for us to have this covenant perspective. It helps you understand how life is supposed to operate. It makes sense of things that don't make no sense. In the sense that your purpose is bigger than the circumstance. You get that? So important to hear that, please. I mean, this is what Israel didn't understand in the whole. They didn't understand what was being done and the reason for these statutes and laws and ordinances. It was all pointing to Jesus. That's why it was said that when Jesus actually came, the same people had all those signs and archetypes. They missed it. They missed the Savior. And some even, you know, repudiated him and called him a demon. So they missed the very reason their whole nation was built, was for Jesus to come. So listen, in your life, don't you miss what God is doing, okay? Don't fool around and miss the reason why you do things and go through things and learn what you learn, because there's a great purpose behind that. Maybe you won't get to see it in your lifetime, but somebody going to see it in their lifetime if you stay faithful, amen? Thank God for his work. Now, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 4 says, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of heavenly things. You see that? Going back to the way it used to be. Again, they served a copy and shadow of things. They thought what they was doing was the real thing. It ain't the real thing, y'all. You know, I mean, you could be in a really good rehearsal, but the rehearsal is not the play. It's still just the rehearsal. It's not the performance. But rehearsals are important. So the copy and shadow of heavenly things. Verse 6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. Why is it excellent? Inasmuch as he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Say better. I love that word better. You know, because this is what covenant does. It makes everything better. That's why we don't have to be worried about what we're looking at. If we walk in Christ and we know the Word and walk in the Spirit, then we'll have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in Christ to show us a better way. That's why, again, believers excel in all walks of life. We excel. You put us somewhere and give us some resources and we have faith, man, we're going to make that thing better. It's going to be better than how we found it. Because we're built for that. We're a covenant people. We make people better. We make things better. Amen, somebody? Then going on here, let's jump ahead, take some time here. Hebrews is so full of insight, but let's see how the book of Hebrews concludes. Hebrews 13, verse 20. This will bless you. If you haven't been blessed already, this will bless you. All right, Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now keep that scripture up. Look what he said. Because of the covenant. One, to make you complete in every good work to do his will. Number two, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. That's encouraging, isn't it? This is where we are, people, in this world, that we are people of covenant in this world, in whom God is completing every good work and working in you to do what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. So that's how Hebrews, the book, concludes. In fact, the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus being better than blank. That's the whole theme of the book. Jesus is better than everything. All right, other examples. Again, covenant makes everything better. Let's look at Jehoiada. Right, covenant makes everything better. Our example from Jehoiada. 2 Chronicles 23, verse 1. In the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of hundreds, and they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said to them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord said of the sons of David. Now some context. This is a nice verse. But the previous chapter talked about, previous chapters, about problems and situations of corrupt leaders like Ahaziah, whom the Bible says, who also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Now, anything about Ahab is going to be bad, y'all. So that's all you got to know about Ahaziah, is that he walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. So that whole season was marked by treachery. In fact, Ahaziah was killed and succeeded by a woman named Athaliah. Do not name your child Athaliah, okay? I don't care how it sound to you. Don't name your child Athaliah, okay? Your girl, okay? Don't do that. Because she's a bad actor, boy. Even among guys, she was really bad. I mean, she was as bad as the dudes, okay? But the point is, she wound up, because of the treachery, she wound up assuming leadership. And this is the environment, I'm summarizing greatly, but this is the environment in which God raised up Jehoiada. He raised him up after a lot of treachery and darkness in the nation. Because, again, when you bring a covenant, things are about to get better. And what's interesting is, when you look at the previous chapter, you don't see anything about covenant being made. Ahaziah and Athaliah, none of them folk made a covenant. But here we come to the 23rd chapter of Chronicles, and it says one of the first things that Jehoiada did, he strengthened himself and made a covenant with the captains of the people, with the leaders of the people, with the people. He made a covenant with the people. And it says, and the congregation made a covenant with him, right? So they got into a covenant. That is, they came into a mutually binding association to do something, to make a change. And until that was done, nothing was going to improve until somebody made a covenant. Now look at next point here. It says, so look at the response of the people. All right, when they understood they were covenanting with the Lord and the leader, then it allowed Jehoiada to do what God had put in his heart to do. So it says in 2 Chronicles 23:16, that Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and the people and the king that they should be the Lord's people. Now, wait a minute now. You need a covenant for that? I mean, so we got to do a covenant that says we're going to be the Lord's people. That should be a given. Nothing's a given without covenant, without commitment. Without commitment, nothing is a given. So, you know, young lady, young guy, you're dating the other person. They talking sweet, look sweet and all that. And ain't putting no ring on your finger and don't have a car or a job or a place to live. That's going to be a contract. That's you're going to oil everything. It's all going to be on you. That's all done. I heard that years ago about you know, guys especially. You know, don't date that guy. You got to have a, in fact, Pastor Bumpus said, you got to have a reliable car. He tells his guys, you come out of jail. He said, look, first thing you're going to get is get yourself a driver's license. Don't get a car first. Some guy get a car first, no license. They wind up back in jail. He says, get a license. Then get a car, a reliable car, so that when you get a job, you won't lose the job because your car wouldn't start. Pastor Bumpus is, I mean, he's learned this stuff, you know, over years and years. So the thing is, when you work with somebody, young ladies and some guy, he need to have a job, a reliable car, and a place to live. Now, he can be with his mama. I can go with that for a little bit. You need a mama, you know, sometimes it's desperate times, you know what I'm saying? But he got a job and a reliable car. Somebody a raggedy car just says so much that's wrong, amen? But the covenant was not that they would be, you know, 100% on board. No, just be the Lord's people. Just be the Lord's people, which says a lot in of itself. Watch this. So when that was done, verse 17 happened. And all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They broke it in pieces, its altars and images. They killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Now, Jehoiada didn't say, go down there and destroy Baal temple. Didn't have to. Because, see, the same people who were messing with Baal and going down there for other reasons, come on now, they knew where it was. They all knew where it was. But when God changed them and they became the Lord's people, they turned against the stuff that was against God and against them. And this is what, see, covenant to be God's people means you step up in your commitment to God. You get stuff out of your life that don't belong in your life, stuff that you thought was okay, and now it's not okay, because the Lord's people have a higher standard. We have a covenant standard, amen? And so it's a beautiful picture of what covenant, how it makes everything better. Let's talk about Nehemiah. Nehemiah, another example. Nehemiah chapter 9 was the beginning of a great renewal. Verse 9, verse 1 of chapter 9 says, now, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembling with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of the Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So then, before they began going back and rebuilding something, they got themselves right with God. They had to realize that this kind of commitment to step up requires that we separate from foreigners, from foreign things, from influences that are not of God in our lives. They confessed their sins with fasting and sackcloth and all that. So it was a process of renewal, right, and restoration. Now watch this. Next point here, Nehemiah 9:36. Here we are, servants today, and the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants in it. Verse 39, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it in our leaders, in our Levites, in our priests, seal it. It's good, isn't it? So once they got into renewal and did the work, and they got to the point where they realized that this whole thing has changed us, covenants made us better, and they just made a covenant. They made an agreement among themselves that we're going to, you know, we're the Lord's people, we're in God's place now, and so the leaders and the Levites and the priests sealed it, signed off on it. They were serious about it. Like people who are serious, they get married. You know, we're married now. So we're past dating and all that kind of stuff. Now we're married here. Now we got, you know, we've been married. We got, here's the paperwork and here's the vows we took and everything. So understand that covenant makes everything better. In this example, all right, Jonathan and his armor bearer. Again, covenant makes everything better. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 14. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." Now, you understand how ridiculous this statement is. Because Jonathan, was not a warrior type guy. He was Saul's son, and he was a prince, but he wasn't ready for a big time battle. But he understood what God wanted, and they were facing a whole Philistine army over there, and so Jonathan's plan was, now to his armor bearer, the man had no name, no who he was. I'll say Timmy. All right, Timmy. He said, "I got an idea." He was earnest. He was serious about it. You know, sometimes people are serious, and your plan is still crazy. You know what I'm saying? You're serious, you're earnest, you're full of faith, and you still don't make sense to some people. He says, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. And here's the plan. And it may be." He didn't say it gonna be. He said it may be. The Lord will work for us. Now listen, Timmy should have said, "Well, what if it don't work?" But listen, the armor bearer was a covenant partner. I loved it. I love this text. And Jonathan knew how God could work, so nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Timmy could have said, "Well, many's better than few." I mean, if Timmy had been like some of y'all, we ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? We can't see it. It don't make no sense. You can't, listen, y'all, in ministry, and you can't go with people who need things to make sense. Just don't talk to them. All they're going to do is discourage you and take all your faith out of you. You know, they just suck it all out of you with all their questions. But the point is, Jonathan had the faith. He's in God's will. He was a covenant man. He covenanted with David earlier, so we know he had a covenant heart. And this is what he heard from the armor bearer. He said, verse 7, "So armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then, for I am with you according to your heart.'" That's a covenant statement from the armor bearer, from Timmy, if you will, that he understood the situation. He knew what God could do, and he knew that all Jonathan needed was an encouraging partner. So, you know, with two or three agree, all things can happen. See, sometimes we break agreement so people can't get things done because we don't agree. We don't, you know, sometimes in our own marriages we can't agree on stuff. Y'all ain't going nowhere without agreement. Amen, somebody? Amen. I don't understand. You don't have to understand everything. Do you trust him? Yes. What are you talking about then? I don't understand. Do you trust him? Well, no, I don't. Well, see, now be honest about it. Come on, somebody. A little straight talk is good. Amen. Amen. Stop lying to people. You don't trust him. Tell them you don't trust them. They'll stop waiting on you. All right, watch this. So the Bible says, well, the story goes on. I don't want to read the whole story, but the point is that they did go up together, two of them, and God gave them the victory. And the victory was so great, even the Israelites who were already scared, they got up and went and did something. When they saw two guys by themselves, they all got encouraged and went and fought as well. So covenant makes everything better. All right, final point. Let's talk about what Jesus did. So covenant makes everything better. Communion and Christ followers. Amen. I just stop saying Christians all the time. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian, all right? But not many follow Christ. So I'm a Christian. I am. But I like to say Christ follower to be clear about who we're talking about among the Christians. And this is what Jesus did. Look at Luke 22, verse 17. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take and divide it among yourselves. I'm skipping ahead here, verse 19. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So Jesus made everything better, didn't he? Now we know that communion, see, is the celebration of what Jesus did. Now, this instance was before he went to the cross. Now we do it looking back to the cross. This was the same faith, whether looking ahead, looking back. It's the same faith, same provision. So we today get to celebrate the actual fact that we've been delivered, we've been saved, healed, made free, all the rest, because of the new covenant. And there's much more about that. Let me give you a summary of some of the benefits of covenant. Just some of the benefits of covenant. First of all, covenant brings encouragement and hope. Covenant brings peace and stability. Covenant brings partnership and companionship. Covenant brings honesty and openness. Covenant brings esteem offered and esteem received. That is, covenant offers esteem and receives esteem. Covenant receives love and care and gives love and care. And the covenant provision is made and received. I mean, the whole long list. That's just a couple, few things. So again, covenant makes everything better. And as we have entered into this new year and this new season and the changes in our nation and all this going on, keep your eyes focused, looking into Jesus, author and the finisher of our faith. And while we do our work as citizens, we do social justice and all the things we can to help people, we don't lose sight of where our covenant lies, the source of our strength. In fact, if you get too busy and wrapped up in things of the world, you may lose sight of your strength, the source of your strength. And so whenever you feel drained and feel overcome and feel weak, in your mind, just reflect on the promises of God. Right, because the covenant came with promises and benefits and responsibilities, but covenant has all of that. And we are mutually bound with Jesus. And so the thing about that is, you know, it's like a team. If someone is stumbling, somebody else can pick them up. That is, we don't stop because one team member can't go right now. So we're in a team with Jesus. He's always good to go. I mean, he wants us to do stuff. But when we can't go, man, he's going. He's taking us. He's helping us. He's empowering us. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us, Lord, about the blessings of covenant, reminding us that through covenant, everything becomes better. Everything is better because of the influence of